Can we send this to, let's send this, this is our demo tape. We're going to send it to Quip, along with the fact that we're the only podcast that had major dental surgery in an attempt to get sponsored by Quip.
Several of us.
Quip, if you can hear us, we had major dental surgery on the podcast. Please sponsor us.
Or just take over my payments.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. We don't need money. We just need you to pay our dental bills.
That's
because
what happens.
Mine are through the fucking roof.
Yeah,
is that one of the payment plans they do?
I guess so.
You can either credit, or like you can get like a loan, or you can get Quip to sponsor your podcast and pay your dental bills. Yeah.
Just imagine every time the dentist gets a check in the mail. It's just from Quip. What the fuck?
It's from Quip.
It's from No Moise.
All my patients have podcasts. What's going on here?
Is that why there's so many podcasts out there? Because fuck, I need that Quip money real quick.
Right. Yeah, you can,
America has dental bills.
Pretty
man.
Much nowhere yep. gives you dental insurance unless you're in mm-hmm. Canada.
And then the government gives it to you.
Oh, man.
What must that be like?
Nice.
Passport.
Dude, if you like average the number of teeth that we all have, it's a number.
Almost
a mouth.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, baby.
What's the average number of teeth?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
We got summer 10. Teeth, baby.
Like 16
teeth.
How many teeth?
Some
do you
are
have?
There, some are not.
Because I got like 300. I got like 400 teeth. How many teeth? You guys don't have like, I've got like rows of teeth. You got the front teeth and like the teeth in the back. Do you count those?
I've got like
sometimes.
10.
If you got rows of teeth, then you must not have thumbs. So how are you modeling? Because you're shark.
Dude, you know how like when you bite into something, like a tooth comes out and then another tooth in the back just like fills in the spot, you know? Like if you're like.
Immediately?
Yeah. No, I'm saying. Are you ever like stalking a seal and you're like, ooh, this looks like a good seal. And then you
that's
like
not
you
a
bite
tooth,
into
man.
It.
That's a corn kernel.
Sometimes it's an eyeball too, but mostly they're teeth.
Brandon, dude. Are you taking your teeth out and then putting your shark necklace teeth in the spots of where they are?
They're like
that's
already
smart.
I'm saying they're already in there. They're like in rows just waiting. They're like waiting in line to move up to the front. Like, ooh, now's my chance. He's about to lose a tooth because he's gonna bite the whale like right on the bone or whatever, and a tooth's gonna pop right out. Some like, you know, beach goer is gonna find it from like
this doesn't sound right. For, you know what this
for
sounds like?
Seashells.
I don't it sounds
this
like-
sounds like there's a story behind this.
Whoa. Cue the right. music.
Welcome to the Cutting Matt Podcast. We are a podcast about apparently teeth, major dental surgery, and also
just dental surgery,
and also Quip if you're listening, orthodontics, and also model kit building. We build Gunpla,
yes,
and kits of robots.
Sometimes it involves teeth.
That it apparently it does. Tino, you want to start with the introductions?
Sure.
Battle damage, baby.
It is battle.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Cutting Matt Podcast. I'm Tino, also known as Big V Roman, all over the internet. To my virtual left is the one and only Bailey.
How's it going, guys? Kamau_Zeta. That's me. Next to me, virtually, is the one and only. Something's not right about that. Brandon.
How are you going to make that rhyme? I want to see how you make that rhyme. Keep going. Make it rhyme.
Do it.
You can do it. I believe
all
in you.
All the time. That's what I'm talking about. From here to the ground, make it shout. Go ahead, Brandon.
That's beautiful, dude. Holy shit.
This is why our podcast is so highly rated, because it's just amazing. I'm Brandon. Hey, dudes. I do mecha genre on the internet, mecha genre on Facebook, mecha genre on Instagram. My website is mechagenre.com, and I build model kits of robots and other sci-fi things. And to my virtual left around the table, as always, standing in at a cool 3'9" with size 12 shoes, the one and only Uncle Ricky.
Yeah, brother, 3'9", 12'10". You can't stop me because I'm Uncle Ricky.
It's Uncle Ricky here. My truck's nut shops right down the street on the left. And you can also find me online at True Gunpla.
Everything's on the left here.
Everything's is on the left. Yep.
It's not actually, the last podcast on the left, but
no.
It's like the medium one, though.
If you so speaking of Truck Nuts, if you're a fan of Truck Nuts, you should check out our Patreon. We're giving out we've got a $2 and $5 and a $12. Is that sound right to you? $2, yeah. $5, and $12?
A $2, $5, yeah. And a $12?
Yeah. Yep. So you receive various rewards at those levels, and some of the things that we give out are stickers. And so there is a Truck Nut themed sticker going out this month for patrons. I think everybody's going to love it. So
it's so great. And Bailey made it. Or not Bailey. Fucking God damn it. Fucking Tino made it.
Wow. Tino made it.
Oh, whoa.
No one puts their name in our thing.
Nobody puts their names
overwritten
on the sticker. So we all send in sticker images. But this one, when you look at this sticker, join our Patreon just so that you get the sticker. You will see Tino's craftsmanship all over this thing. He's our
all over the balls.
Those balls are just wonderfully attached via
They're
a
crafted.
Chain.
You're not going to get shafted with these balls.
They're dangling, man. They dangle real good.
Let them fucking drag.
What? Don't let
it's
them
like
drag.
It's like he's got a reference of around. Some kind.
Yep. Oh, so today, what are we talking about today?
We're
going
to get right to the point, right?
So, Bailey, interestingly, this is an episode which was sort of inspired by a... So, for me, this topic was inspired by a contest that we judged recently at a local hobby store. It was an online contest. And we it was a high grade contest, 1/144th Gunpla, and we judged the contest. And I actually, as a judge, someone took our advice and came to me afterwards and asked, "Hey, can I get some feedback on why my entry didn't score as highly as I thought it would?" Which is great. I highly recommend everybody who enters contests do that for yourself.
Yeah,
because you get good feedback. And in this case, mm-hmm. The feedback that I gave this person wasn't the feedback that they expected. And in fact, it wasn't feedback on anything that they thought was part of scale modeling. And it was the story. It was the story that their kit tells.
Mm-hmm. Mm, okay. Yes. That's some story. Good feedback, man.
Yeah. So what are we doing here? Art isn't exclusively about telling stories. Like, some art tells stories for sure, but we build scale models. Like, when I think about a scale model, I'm thinking, well, it's like a small version of a big thing that exists. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, do you have a different definition?
No, I mean, the word kind of
that we want to exist.
Yeah. I mean, it derives from making a scale model, like you would see at a construction firm. They're making a small scale model of an office building that they're making, or in our case here, a bunch of student housing that we don't fucking need. But
yeah, of course.
You know, that's a different podcast, I guess.
That's a different podcast. That's our student union podcast. Join us at 5 p.m. on weekdays for watching us drive home from work. That's what that is. Yeah.
Right. I think we get a special, I think we get the fun side of hobbying, because again, you know, hobbying should be fun, but the best thing about Gunpla and sci-fi miniatures and really anything that involves a quote unquote scale model is that it doesn't have to be something in scale.
Yeah, for real.
And that's kind of one of the first things people get super obsessed with when they are making maybe something for like an IPMS contest, or they're entering some online, or even just a fun casual build, is that the first thing that comes to mind when they're like making a diorama is like, oh my God, what scale should stuff be?
Oh, yeah.
Is this something you guys worry about when you, I mean, Brandon, you've done some buildings and you know, shit like that.
I do that stuff, but see, for me, I just pick a scale. So I am more concerned about whether or not a piece is consistent with its scale.
Yeah.
Versus what the actual scale is, and it that's all part of the story that the kit or the piece is telling, because like scale comes into the picture when you consider what you know like if this thing actually existed in real life, you make a car model, it's a car that could actually be made real and exist in the world, and somebody could drive that somewhere, you know, with giant robots. Like, a giant robot could exist in some fiction and do things, right? Like, it has somebody could drive it. It has some like agency and some motion or whatever. You build even a building model. A building model exists in a universe, you know, fictional or otherwise. It is open to the elements. The building has a certain age. It's used for certain things. You know, all of these things apply to all these models. So when it comes to scale, I don't care what scale you use. You know, I like to paint miniatures. I have a soft spot for smaller scales, you know. But ultimately, like, it doesn't matter.
Now, here comes the part of the podcast where everyone just... There's going to be a percentage that they're going to get real pissed after I say this sentence.
Oh, love it.
Anime is not real.
What?
And I think we actually said this before. I think we said this before. Anime is not real.
Speak for yourself.
And so...
What a trash take.
Such a trash take. I know. It's okay. It's okay. But hear me out. The only, I would say for Gunpla, right, the only case in point that we have of a reference to the size of one of these giant robot things is the 1-to-1 scale statue. And I'm going to say that sentence again, is a 1-to-1 scale statue.
It moves and lights up and shoots smoke too.
And that's all it does. That means it's not a real robot. And even like the, we do have the one that is walking, you know, I'm sure
It's moonwalking.
Yeah, it's walking in place.
It isn't, the feet aren't really touching the ground. Yeah.
Well, but the biggest thing that, go ahead.
I do agree with you that the scale doesn't actually matter. It's kind of like a suggestion, right? Like, it's more of a suggestion than like a concrete rule.
I had this issue with my first shirt, but also recently a Patreon exclusive color shirt of that, is when we did the Wreckage and even the Goof shirt for that matter, the buildings are out of scale. That's because I wanted them to be out of scale. I don't care about that.
Well, it makes it more epic.
Godzilla
it was more of a, right, yeah, it was sure. more of like having a Godzilla sized like mecha in a sense. But one of the biggest things that I always see as a number one topic of conversation when someone does something quote unquote out of scale is people are like, oh, it's not in scale. To what? An anime show.
Yeah,
that's all you really have. It's just an anime.
What is scale in sci-fi? Like for a sci-fi model, 1/72nd or 1/100th or 1/144th, that means to scale in universe. And the universe is fictional. Like, the, you know, none of this stuff is actually real. If you build a car model and it's a 1/24th car model, it would look weird if you put it on a 1/100th racetrack, because that car is going to be fucking huge. You know, you basically see these things constantly in real life. With sci-fi stuff, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're entering something into a contest and it's not like a specific Gundam universe, you know, like if it's a sci-fi mecha contest, you can do whatever you want with that kit.
Well, a great example of that is Wynn, Paint Pusher. He does these crazy dioramas that are very subjective. It's like a kid's imagination of like them piling a Gundam. And it's insanely, you know, if you were to think about it, it's insanely fucking out of scale per an anime show or whatever the fuck you want to call it scale.
And here's the thing. It still tells a story, doesn't it?
It does. Still get the story.
And I was going to say that is the biggest thing that we want to kind of touch on with this episode is not so much to tell you that anime isn't real and your life is in shambles.
No,
I
can't do this again.
Exactly. Is that as someone that myself, I have judged plenty of contests, both IPMS and non-IPMS, and I've seen beautiful dioramas where technically to the subject matter that it doesn't exist in the real world. Because here's the thing. There is historic military scale modeling where you are judged on making sure you have the correct scale. But this subject matter is so different one SD show, the SD Gundam show, the Gundams are as tall as a bush.
Yeah, like what
but
even
in
is scale?
OHM's team, they're stepping on bushes like they're ants. You know, it's two different things.
But in military modeling, these are tanks that you can go and look at, you know, like you can
which tank, you know, unit, the Abteilung and all that kind of stuff. And it's like all those guys that want to, you know, match the markings on the pictures. And yeah, that gets really pedantic
because the thing is, you got to scale your tank And then you got to scale your marking also. Exactly. And if your marking is too big, it doesn't look right because the tank actually existed. You're replicating something which was real. Like, even, you know,
even more than that, man, I've been, you know, dabbled in a bit of that stuff, and it's like,
oh,
tank treads and when,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
what factory
patterns,
was producing it.
Factory.
Was this,
what,
you know,
dirt?
Was,
what dirt yeah. goes in the tread?
Yeah, was this a Stug in Kursk, so it should have Kursk soil? Uh-huh. Or was it, you know, DA? Was it DAC? Or, you know, all those things?
Ain't nobody got time for all that bullshit.
No, for real. Because you have to think about what kind of story are they telling with military modeling. The story they're telling has been told. The story has reality.
And like, here's the thing that's interesting with Gundam is that if you want to go there, you can go there because, you know,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
those guys,
true.
The,
it's
those
true.
Instagrams that the Gundam facts and, you know, and, the YouTube videos talking about that. You know, I just watched a bunch of JoJo ones today. So it's like people are piecing these things together and they get so wound up. Some, you know, there's some that, you know, dispute these narratives. And then there's some that defend the authors and assume that the authors were like, they assume that they were lucid and they assume that they were
yeah,
like
exactly.
sober.
Not severely depressed when they're making
the time. Yeah, exactly. Oh, they assume so many things and that it makes perfect sense in their, that's why the phrase, I think it's become popular, you know, headcanon. That's
yes,
why headcanon. It's so nice because you can that can easily be put into that territory for the people that get caught up with the fine details as if the original creators had that much in it.
But let's look at the facts, right? If we look at the facts for any sci-fi model, there is no reality for any sci-fi topic.
Wrong.
There's only canon and there's headcanon. And
I will
then
say wrong because you said the word sci-fi. Technically, if you want to get into very, you know,
the fi is for fiction. It's all fictional.
No.
Science fiction.
No.
Wait, what?
Brandon, I'm going to tell you once, and I know you're a scientist,
you,
and you have your
you
brains
learned me
work
something
smart.
About this, Joel.
You're going to get learnt real quick. Is that
learn,
technically
edumify him?
Things like Star Wars models or things that are made for a sci-fi universe but have a real world application to them also have two different scales and usually technically
Star Trek is really bad with this
because sometimes they use a ship that is 12 feet long and sometimes you use one that's like an inch long.
It's accurate. And
that kind of opens up the can of worms to two different modeling cultures in a sense. You know, you go to IPMS, you're going to see some Star Wars models. They're normally Bandai, you know, Revel, AMT or something like that. And the scale there is just pretty much based off of the size of the lore put into
a
scale
right.
model.
It's the story.
Now, if you go into something like the 501st, the Mandalorian Mercs, the scale is based off of props used in shows.
Right.
So technically, what you're thinking as a quote-unquote scale modeler building a Bandai model kit, that scale is going to be different than the person that's making a replica prop ship that was used in, you know, via ILM to film episode fucking 2 or 3 or whatever.
Well, see,
so there's a little bit of difference in those two.
Here's one for you, since you're in that area. Have you guys seen that recent Metal Ball? Oh, it's not recent. It's been out for like a couple weeks now. That Metal Ball video that's been floating around with the
Metal Ball?
All the ships.
What is that?
Metal Ball Studios. It's like it's that
the
3D...
lore size. Oh, where it says like the different sizes of ships compared
to
each other.
It had a ton of ships, even to the point of Mass Effect and 40K
but
and all
does
that
it,
kind of
does
stuff.
Does it compare like fictional ship size in
yes,
the lore?
With real,
to...
it,
I
no,
love
it compares
those.
Against like the International Space Station and
SpaceX so
and all that kind
this
of
is,
stuff.
This is when I say but, like when I say in universe size, I like the prop size is one thing. Because you make a 15-foot prop versus a 1-inch prop, depending on which shot you want. But there's still, like, in the fiction, like, in the universe, a Corellian Corvette has a certain length.
Well, see, that's the thing, man. Because, okay, we've all played Halo.
Yeah.
And we all know Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That video puts, like, a Pelican next to the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
And they're about the same size.
Which they're not.
Exactly. And we're talking about, well, I mean, in terms of the specs, I mean, this is doing spec wise, you know, meters and kilometers and whatnot.
Yeah, like dimensions, right.
Yeah. And so we played Halo with like the cabin of that and the
cockpit.
No, well, the cockpit, but the
The cockpit seems pretty small.
Where they get ready and they get ready to load out and drop out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and it's
ODTS
that.
Or all that shit.
Granted, those are most of the time it's Spartans and Spartans take up more space, right?
They do. That's true. They do.
But
this thing doesn't even have a
bathroom in it, man. And then it's the Millennium Falcon, as we know, it's decked out.
It's a multiple room. I mean, the fact
and they're
that
about
it's...
the same size, apparently.
Well, there's another part of that as well. The Falcon's crew was like 5.
It can hold like 30 people, though.
It could hold 30 for sure.
It did.
Comfortably.
Yep. Yeah. Comfortably. Yes.
No, I mean, it's got resting quarters. It's got the
right.
It's a fully furnished YT-1300. I mean, it's huge.
Evidently then, the same size as a Pelican that carried like maybe 10 soldiers,
10,
and
a Pelican
race.
Can hold like
super,
you know,
tight,
maybe
a cockpit.
Maybe 20 Marines and a cockpit with two, like a 2-person cockpit, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty dip. Or, that's a pretty big,
I think
that comes down to differences in design philosophy, because if you look at the Millennium Falcon, you've
the
got
structure
which
is different.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking about like almost like a monocoque shape versus a very modular shape.
Yeah, the Pelican reminds me of like a badminton birdie kind of, and the way that it just sort of flares out. A lot of the parts on the Pelican are non-crew quarters. It's got these giant ducted fans for engines, or rather maneuvering thrusters, and then the whole like back quarter or third is just a big old tail. And the designer used that design to tell a story about what was happening in that universe. And I love looking at designs like that because two things about the same size, vastly different uses. Because the Millennium Falcon, you could travel through space and live on that thing for years as long as you can get supplies.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
A Pelican though, Pelican has no kitchen. A Pelican has no bathroom.
More than a day
right.
in the air. It's
purely a drop ship.
And yet the irony in the game is that they traveled did space travel in those things if needed.
Yeah,
Not the, what is it? It's not warp drive. I forget what it is. Slip space?
Sure.
But regardless, if I were to see a Pelican model that was retrofitted for intergalactic travel, I would expect to see a makeshift bathroom on the model because I want to know, like, tell a story here. They knew they were going to be gone for weeks. They would need a bathroom. They would need a makeshift kitchen. Put a kitchen in the back of that thing. They know that they would need it. You know, they would need like more living quarters. Maybe they would break up that large crew
like
quarters
in
the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a back. Maybe they break it up into maybe some living quarters with a bunch of bunks.
Oh, that's
like that would be a really cool.
This just sounds like Heaven's Gate. But like what I was trying to say before we start, like 15 minutes ago before we started talking about Halo, what I was trying to say is, as someone that has judged a lot of contests, and one of the biggest things that I've seen that's made me really happy is seeing people like myself taking something that has a quote unquote, whether it's fictional or non or whatever scale, and put it into an incorrect scale and still tell a story with that and
be able
to have someone that is very hyper-focused on trying to tell something in universe or something that is in scale, kind of forget about that whole subject and be like, damn, fuck, like this is cool.
I mean,
I've seen it. I mean, even with stuff that's not on like Paint Pusher's level of like having a very elaborate storytelling through the perspective of, you know,
wasn't there
like
for like his one of the last builds that I've seen with him, that one with Rambaral and Hamo, what's your name? Hammond. Didn't that go up against the, what was it? Either Singapore or Filipino GBWC champion where they just like put the scale on its edge, did kind of like that power suit.
Yeah, that's what I was getting to, is that we see this a lot in Gundam, but it's also ironically one of the things that people attempt to harp on is like, oh, it's not in scale. But a lot of the stuff that we've seen win, quote,
that shit
unquote,
wins, man.
Yeah, oh, big contest. It's all out of scale, or it's in a subject matter placing that has no scale.
Because guess what? It told a story,
right? Exactly. It doesn't matter.
And it was
matter.
Done really well, too, mind you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It has to be done really well.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be done well.
This was the story that I opened with, the story of somebody asking me for feedback as a judge in a contest and me giving them the feedback that their entry was done really well, but didn't tell a story. That was surreal for me, because while the entry was a modified mobile suit from a well-known Gundam series, it was modified to a point that it wouldn't fit into that series anymore. But the problem was it wasn't modified to the point that you could tell where it would fit into its own fiction.
Well, real quick, this is going to kind of give everyone listening an eye into how people like ourselves judge when you are judging something like this for a, the contest is very broad. It was just build the high grade and that was it.
Right.
Are you trying to look into the subject matter of the suit and show, or just at the piece collectively as a model?
And see, for me, it's 0% the subject matter of the suit and the show. And this is where it differentiates from the story. When I say story and when you say scale, I think that where these, where we agree in that case, and I think we completely agree, we call it different things, is that I don't care where this thing came from or which fiction you're telling me it's from. Because if I haven't seen that fiction, or if I haven't read that book,
it's not going to amount to a hill of beans.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether it comes from a pre-established fiction or whether you make up a headcanon. I want to be able to look at this thing and think that it has a place in some universe.
Right there is one of the largest flaws in Gunpla to date is that, and this is why I say IPMS can get involved with Gunpla off the bat with someone that has no grasp of what even a Gundam is, because you don't need to learn where it comes from or what it looks like in the show. All you need to know is maybe what the kit looked like before they added or painted it or stuff to it, because when it comes down to it, a judge is not required to know the anime's fucking ending or who did this or who did that.
Exactly.
What.
It doesn't
matter.
It's not
going to happen, is it?
It's not. It's never going to happen.
Well, sometimes
I'm sure there's some shows that the Gunpla guest judges for GBWC, like when they get celebrities, they've never fucking seen it before. So they don't know what it's supposed to look like. Yep. And I think that's where Gunpla is fundamentally flawed in terms of trying to have a competitive environment, because you have people are saying, well, the RX-782 doesn't look like that. And then you have other people saying that just looks fucking cool and it tells a story. And that's needs to be focused on.
I'm so glad you brought that up, the RX-782, because look at this year. I mean, Julian itemized the amount of releases the RX-782 has had this year.
At the hobby store. Yeah.
And then there's more.
Yep, there are.
And then more have come.
But check this out.
It's insane.
That's such a weird looking mecha.
No, right? But look, they maintain that a certain iconic look to it. You know, the colors, the general shape.
They're eye popping. Eye catching for sure. They're popping colors.
For those of us, let's say for those of us that have even a more than a cursory familiarity with the RX-782.
Yeah.
Look at the way the proportions, the lines, the panels, all the things have moved and morphed through the years. And then look how they moved in just this year alone.
Yeah.
Oh, and if we're going to talk about like scale and, accuracy, you could get into like, structure and function. That is testament to the fact that there shouldn't be anything in particular, because Bandai have moved these things around constantly, and they showed us this year that they could just move that shit around as much as they want.
See, here's a perfect example of that, and this is something I've ran into with trying to actually cheat some of the guys in DC when I went up there to judge is that, is trying to explain to them and not really explain to them because it wasn't a part of judging. It was a question that came up, much like tanks, there's different variants and colorways and stuff like that. Now imagine this, you are someone that, has no idea what Gundam is. You go to Japan, you see the giant one-to-one, moonwalking Gundam, and that is your only interpretation of Gundam stuff, right? And
which
hear me
is
out
my
on this.
Least favorite one at this point.
Yeah. But hear me out on this. That is the only thing you have seen Gundam wise, right? And you know, down the road you get into the hobby a little bit and you start noticing there's different types. Let's say you get involved with a contest or something and someone does, the real type paint job on RX-782. Mm-hmm. They do it very well. They're not telling a story with their model kit. Should that person feel, obligated to maybe have a higher point value because they did an anime accurate paint job that you don't know of because of subject matter? Or is it flawed because it's not telling a story?
I mean, I would say it's not telling a story, right? This is my problem with that. If you're relying on the subject matter, you are using a crutch which will not always be there for you.
Subject,
you see
matter,
what I mean?
Mind you,
right? That's the
obscure
thing. But even if you're relying on the obscure subject matter, that's a crutch that will not be there for you. It will not hold you up in your modeling career. You might get one or two judges that understand the obscure subject matter, but beyond that, it's not something you could always rely on. And as a result, if it helps you, it will help you in a way that it probably shouldn't. You see what I mean?
Yeah. And I think a good example of this, I mean, I'm sure Tino sees this all the time in the art world, is that, I mean, especially with fan art and shit, I mean, that's a whole nother fucking can of worms, but we're going to open up just slightly a little bit here, is that, I mean, I've had it happen with some of my shit. I'm sure you have, Tino, is that people get very like antsy or kind of like aggressive when you draw their favorite character in your own art style.
It's not just that. It's taking those characters out of context too.
Like having like crossover kind of stuff,
crossovers,
like that.
Your own headcanons for them and stuff.
Yeah,
so
you put them into a story. Yeah
you put it's them into kind of a different story.
And I think that's kind of like, I mean, that's fucking awesome to do, though. Like, I think that's a lot of fun.
Right now in this kind of era of memes, I think it's just really fitting. I think it's really it's kind of where the current like thinking is that that's what's funny because it's. I mean, like Tina, it's referencing something else. So the person that you show it to, you know, the character has a like a mythos behind it. And then the context that you put it in, or if you give it a prop or something, that's referencing something else. And that in and of itself is where the humor is coming from, is where the joy basically of it is stemming from. So
that's a really good point.
If you have an individual that's coming at you about, putting Darth Vader in a swimming pool or something like that, then man, they've got other issues.
if the swimming pool is full of Bacta, swimming pool, you got no problem, right? Like that.
Then it's another reference again. Exactly.
Right. There you go.
But one of the things I wanted to get with this real quick is. And I know me and Tina are on this in this boat together. Is that I'll bet anything, Tina, some of your best selling shit is things that are in other universes as a like a crossover or mashup or even stuff that's your art style that's vastly different from the original subject matter, but just done in your style. And I'm sure that's the shit that you sell the best of.
No one's ever attacked me about this. And in fact, everybody that sees it and has some kind of extreme reaction is usually on the floor crying. It's a crossover between All Might and Magikarp.
Oh my God.
Texas Splash and big old letters on top of it. And everybody loves it.
But you know, I think why they love it is because they know the story. And so it's the story that they love. The piece gives them the story, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
I think the only thing I've ever really received hate on is my Bowsette depiction.
Well, wait a minute.
That's a whole different can of worms we don't need to get into. That's a side episode or something we'll talk about. The Bowsette side episode.
Can we really do one? Because that will be awesome. Yeah. All right, let's do it. I'm on board. I got opinions about crowns.
Yeah. But I mean the reaction and the mental components behind that is different from Scale Money, but in the same way it's exactly the same, because you're ignoring the universe, you're ignoring the scale in a sense, and you're saying that subjectively this is just good. Right, and I think that's something that if people, everyone, scale modelers or whatever you're doing, kind of take a step back and look at, you know, the diorama that you're making and saying, you know, this is cool, but hey, I may not have N scale buildings for this, or it may not be the right scale. Mm-hmm. Try to force yourself to not just go out and buy whatever you need.
Maybe you, in the case of Brandon, maybe you do have N scale. It's close enough and it works and it makes sense.
Here's the thing
about
N scale.
Which is what people would take issue to, but it varies,
I've never been called out on this. I am a huge fan. So for me, I get the brain tickles from making things all the same scale. But here's the problem I ran into. 1/144th is kind of rare. Yeah. And I like for things to be the right size in universe. And so for me, it's easy to accept the scale that the thing, quote unquote, would be in quote unquote reality, in quote unquote, the Gundam universe, quote unquote, 1/144th, quote unquote, certain height. Quote, unquote. And so for me, when I make a 1/144th model, I use in scale everything else, because in scale is technically between 1/140th and 1/160th.
You mean the train standard?
Yes. The train standard in scale is almost 1/144th.
It's 1/148th
to 1/160th. 1/160th is a little bit tricky.
They don't even stick to it either.
Well, but the thing is, the human eye doesn't give a shit. The human eye doesn't care. Honestly, we will fill in the blanks. But as long as it's passing, I can still pull a story out of that. Or if I'm building it, I can still put a story into it. You know, shipping containers, forklifts, like all of these components of a diorama tell the story about what that robot was just doing. You know, if you need a building, if you're going to be stomping on a building, you can use an in-scale building. It doesn't actually matter. It'll be rubble anyway, probably, right?
Do a crossbone Gundam, right? And
it's a little bit on the small side. See, crossbone's a bit on the smaller side.
Well, yeah, right? But put the real graders. Put the real but you don't even have to go across different things. Just put the real grade next to the high grade.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They're two different sizes.
1/144th.
Same scale.
1/144th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Put all HG Gundams together, RX-78-2s.
Right. You shouldn't be super anal about this stuff is basically what we're saying. It doesn't really matter. The thing that I care more is if your mobile suit or your mech is smashing a building, don't make the leg that just smashed through the building completely pristine. Right? Do some weathering on that leg. The story has to be fully continuous. You know what I mean?
Aren't technically the Build Fighter high grades not 1/144th?
They're one to one, yeah. They're normal size.
Yes and no, because they're not. Because in that universe, they have real life high grade 1/140 scale.
Right.
So technically what you're buying is the product inside that universe. It's a whole fucking thing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because when you look at it and you're in a diorama, or even if it's a singular build by itself and you happen to have like a larger pilot figure next to it, it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, when I judge, for example, when I look at a kit, I'm not thinking, is this 1/72nd or 1/124th? Is it believable?
The only reason those categories even exist, and this is, again, coming from someone that helped set the standard for IPMS Gundam judging, is that to help people know where to put their fucking kits. Because we try doing just a open system of Gundam, And then you get people like, well, I made a master grade and the high grade one. Yeah, dude, because it doesn't matter, because guess what? These are advanced Legos. There's nothing right. complicated about snapping a Gundam kit together. I don't care. At me, whatever. I don't fucking care. There's nothing complicated about this.
DM him. DM all of us at the Cutting Mat on
I've seen workshops of kids, we will answer your questions. That are like 10 or 12 and they're building master grades. So there's really nothing complicated about this. It's what you do after the kit that matters.
That's correct.
Or if you're just having fun snapping, that's fine, but we're talking about a contest environment here. The biggest thing with that and why we had that division was not due to subject matter. The subject matter split only happens is when we have a table of 1/44th, 1/100th, and like non-scale or not, or we call it non-scale or general scale when it's like SC's 1/60th perfect grade, shit like that.
It's like an other, like catch-all kind of category.
Yeah, but the fandom scales, because that's what they're called Star Wars, is when you break it down from the respected sizes of Bandai AMT model kits. If there's such a large entry pool, you have to find a way to divide those. And unfortunately, that causes issues, because now you have builders like us that were like, well, fuck, my weird high grade that I made to look like a Russian war machine it's not in any universe. And that's kind of this weird road we're at with IPMS, because our events that we've attended, we've had massive turnouts for all the scales. Yeah. And it's hard to break it down to visions. And what we're starting to do is actually do a diorama and just a singular build. And there's just a lot of problems that need to be worked out in terms of Gundam scale modeling and competition and content. It's very new. It's a very new thing. Even if it's been in past 10 years, I don't know how long they've been doing GBWC.
GBWC has been around for at least 10 years, I think. But for IPMS, that's brand new.
Last year, brand new.
And you're right. As we get more and more entries, we start to break up into more and more categories. And then eventually we'll eventually end up having all the correct categories, but we have to have the interest first. That's really the precursor for all of that. But, you know, you mentioned dioramas. I'm talking about individual kits. You can tell a story with any of these things, regardless of your scale. It doesn't matter which category you're in. Even if you have to go to general sci-fi because your mecha doesn't fit into Gunpla, which honestly, I hate to do that. I don't like to go to general sci-fi because of how packed that category already is.
It's usually empty for us here.
I wish they would break it up more.
Like when we went to ODO, I did the Gernsback.
The
Gernsback was going up against I think it was Machine and Krieger over there or something. I don't really remember. But it was going up against a range of things, and I'm putting a Bandai like Joe said, a snap fit, you know, kind of put together kit up against resin casts and
sculpting,
you know,
and shit.
Yeah. Well, and all that kind of stuff. And I get that once we're not talking Gundam, then it's like, oh, but Bandai makes a range of things. I mean, it's pretty clear once you're in the Star Wars, Bandai is pretty much owning that space at this point, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna sometimes run into, you know, maybe one-off garage kits of Millennium Falcon or, you know, the occasional Rebel Germany or something like that. But for the most part, Bandai is really running that space,
and
it's then you go into all the special things that Ben has been doing, Full Metal Panic, and then the Evangelion kits now, and all those kind of things. Like, okay, now we got to start really considering what's right. where that stuff. Are we going to have a Bandai sci-fi section or something?
In an ideal universe, everything would be comparable to everything else. And I say in an ideal universe only because, if you're judging things by how good they look, then there's a Permission to Paint episode about this, and I understand that. Please go back to listen to our Permission to Paint episodes. But context is a big portion of the judging right now, and I'm saying in an ideal world it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like the sci-fi category should be equally valid to any Gunpla category. We haven't reached that point yet, but I think we will in the next few years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to get at.
I mean, we're thinking of best in show.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Like any of those categories should be equally likely to win best in show. But everyone has to come to compete, and that means that everyone has to bring their own story and use the correct design principles and use the right techniques. No seam lines. You know, all of these.
I mean,
things
that's the ticket. That's just the ticket to entry. Right there,
and I feel the same way. I feel the same way, right? Basically, and you know, to go back to the very beginning, the feedback that I gave this person from this context from this contest was that all of their fundamentals were
there,
spot on.
Yeah,
but I couldn't see where the piece fit into a world. You know, how is this a thing, you know what I mean? Like, what is it for? What does it do? What do they make it for? What do they design it for? Where are the panels for maintenance? Like, what are the things that make it feel to me? Like, what can I really sink my mechanic teeth into? Mm-hmm. Or what can I sink my imagination into? When I think about story, that applies to every one of these categories.
Yeah.
And real certainly, quick,
before we go any further, I wanted to reiterate what I was talking about before, so that way we don't get any messages like, what do you mean the categories don't exist?
Categories are fake. Everyone, throw away the category labels in your IPMS. Just throw them out.
Where
put
I was getting to
can.
Before we started going off on a different subject, was that shows like SCGMC and even our NCGMC show here in that category division from scale then into subject matter. A lot of the judging for the subject matter ones are not necessarily, again, they're not based on scale.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have those subjects like an SCGMC, there is a little bit of user knowledge that is required from the judges. If you're, you know, judging a UC category, you are required to have knowledge about the Universal Century. You are now,
no wings.
Yeah,
you are now going. Yeah, you are now going.
Keep your wangs and seeds out of here. I don't want you shooting. Your wangs can't shoot any seeds up in this category.
But
you see only category.
But do show us your balls, though.
Yeah, exactly. Balls are legal. Actually, balls are allowed in the UC category. Think about that.
Absolutely not.
They are.
Do not put your testicles on the.
What? Not the. How realistic are they? Like, I don't know if
mold
they're
balls?
If they're
testicles. What are you talking about?
Are they pre-shaded?
They got pinchy arms.
Are they scribed?
You have to keep in mind that those you're going from a judge to a judge and a subject matter expert at the same time.
Yep.
That is why the requirements for judging an IPMS show is not to know what Universal Century, what the real type Gundam looks like, what was in that universe or not.
What the loadout
because
was.
There is no Universal Century category, at least at the events that I have taught, trained, and attended. It is if you can tell a story with your plastic robot. Now, at events like SCGMC, where there is a division split from like, you know, the main scale to maybe, oh, look, there's a non-UC, a UC, you know, shit like that. Your kid is still not going to be judged. Is this building in scale to it? More than likely to be judged. Is this something that I recognize in that century? Oh, I know this was, even if it's like a crazy fucking kit bash, if your mind story is still in Universal Century time period, it's not a historical thing. It's just that it's themed around.
It has a place
it's a base.
For it.
Yeah. It's a base subject matter. So, again, before anyone freaks out that we're saying, you know, UC categories or theme contests aren't fucking valid, they are. But when you build for those, don't worry so much about, is this correct from the anime? Worry about, is this telling a story that could be in this show? Could you see that happening in this show or manga or comic or
that's,
the fucking
that's
movie it's from?
100% exactly it. It is when you tell a story, consider which universe does your story take place in? It doesn't have to be a story that's already been told, but it should fit into a universe if that's what your category says it should do. Eh?
Yeah. For sure.
I think we're on the same page.
I guess I'll throw out my does the ARC-78-2 that's been turned into a Sailor Moon power suit fit into UC?
Oh, fuck yes. It fits into every category.
100%.
If I saw that in a UC category, but okay, there it's a kit from the UC line or UC universe. And but I'd be like, well, it's a crossover episode, because I'm sure that would happen.
Sailor Moon is canon in UC, by the way. You probably didn't know that, but far before the Universal Century happened, there was Sailor Moon. So that's it's all the same universe anyway, right?
In the Turn A retroverse.
Yeah, well, it's the Turn A perfect century or whatever. Definitely. I mean, I feel like Sword Art Online exists in the Turn A retconverse. Yeah, just pick an anime.
We forgot something. We forgot probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that we could give people out there that are contest hungry, that do want to go out there for the gusto. We've been talking a lot about dioramas and buildings and fucking forklifts and crates and all kinds of crazy shit. I think the thing I've stated the most to people that ask for feedback, especially with a first time doing a vignette or diorama, is that make sure your diorama or your vignette or your shadow box or whatever you're presenting your main protagonist suit or model kit in is the same quality as your build.
Yeah.
And I mean, not
so much,
not scale, not, as a weather, it needs to be a cohesive unit. One, the piece you're entering is not the model kit on the action base. It is the whole thing.
It's everything. Everything you put on that table is your entry.
We had this at ODO the first year. And I mean, granted, our tactic during that year is before any of us were really involved in IPMS besides just Outlookers was to flood the table. Yeah. So there was a lot of people putting just kits on action bases to call it a day. When you do that, you have to keep in mind that the judges looking at these models, they don't know if this action base, what it's doing. Some of them don't even know what an action base is.
Yeah, is it supposed to be a giant
launcher?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it a toilet?
The entry that I entered into ODO that year that got first place in the 1/144th and smaller category was the Bourbon Zam. Which was Barzam. Yeah. That was a Barzam refined on a diorama base that I made out of a book. So I took a book and I put some PVC or some of that pink foam inside the book to make it look like it was standing on an asteroid with inside the pages of a story about that Gundam universe. So the story I told was it was a meta story, effectively. It was a story about a story. And I think like that one pusher. Of the things, sure, there you go, yeah. One of the things that I think pushed me over the edge and got me the first place in that contest was the fact that my diorama made sense.
Yeah,
it was a callback to the fact that this is a fictional universe, but also that it is a mechanical model that would be standing on an asteroid. Because for me in my headcanon, regardless of whether the judges knew this or not, the Barzam refined models were stationed at the asteroid base Pezin. And so I built the asteroid base Pezin. Since it worked in my headcanon, it worked in any onlooker's headcanon, regardless of whether it was the same as mine or not.
You see what I mean? It tells a narrative. It tells a story. It gives me, because the other thing too is, I mean, again, we're talking mainly from our experience of like IPMS and stuff, where the criteria is what you put down is what's being judged. Now, granted, again, before people blow up, because I know this is going to happen, there are some contests that are solely based on just the singular model. If it's on an action base,
read
whatever.
The rules.
It's not
you gotta
being
read the rules.
Judged. Yeah, exactly. You have to read the rules for the contest that you're entering. But we're talking about mainly IPMS and larger contests, is that what you are putting down, the judges don't have a chance to talk to you. And actually, in a lot of IPMSs, they are getting rid of the whole.
No, we do not. Yeah,
I truly sometimes I just want to be left alone and look
at
the models.
They don't want to talk to you.
Afterwards, yes, but during
a
judging,
lot of
though.
A lot of
right, that's right.
Well, yeah,
it makes intuitive sense. They don't it, it shouldn't be influenced by that, you know, because not every person is going to be able to give a backing for that.
What happened?
And you don't want any of those.
Yeah, that's where I was going to get to.
That's why half my diorama is a Diet Coke can. You see, this Gundam got shrunk down to the height of a Diet Coke can, and now he has to get all of his power from a Diet Coke can. That's why he's plugged into the Diet Coke can with that Apple charger there.
Absolutely. But that's what I was going to get at real quick at the end there.
I spilled my Diet Coke can.
Oh, my God. Is that IPMS contents have actually gotten rid of the work in progress and, like, information books and logs and notebooks and piles and shit.
That's true.
Because I don't want to read that. I just want to read what you use in the kit, because there's a section for that, what model kits you use, your technique, and that's it. I don't want to hear a sob story, well, staying up last night and blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I'm not judging your bad mistakes or your good mistakes. I'm judging what is presented to me in front of me. That's it. That's all I have.
If you write scientific papers, try to write these summaries like you write a scientific paper. Objective, true, and concise. Those are really the tricks.
Exactly.
Because the story shouldn't come from your paper. The story comes from the piece. That's really the important thing. Oh, man.
We also forgot to go to the money
zone.
That's
a lot. No, we're going there right now. We're about to hit up. Let's do a supply drop right now. And then when we come back, I've got some words about general principles of design that we could probably cover. Yeah?
Yes.
Let's go to the supply drop. Here we are again at another episode of the Supply Drop. It's like a mini advertising podcast inside our The Cutting Mat podcast. We have a few sponsors to thank, as we always do, and we'd like to start out by thanking my personal favorite place to buy Gunpla and other model kit supplies and tools online, USA Gundam Store. If you haven't checked out USA Gundam Store, I highly recommend it. They've got not only the latest releases and pre-releases, as you can see, from joining their mailing list, which I also recommend, but they've also got a bunch of tools. I buy my Scribers from USA Gundam now, so good selection of Scribers, good selection of kits, good selection of not only Gunpla kits, but they also have a bunch of Kotobukiya kits now, which are really great for me. And beyond kits, USA Gundam also carries paint, and one of the paints that they carry is actually from our friend Scott down in Australia, a paint company called Scale Model Supply SMS paints. These are really, really good paints. If you've been trying to make the shift from non-lacquers over to lacquers, these are an acrylic lacquer based paint that are made by modelers for modelers, go on very smoothly. They don't smell great. They smell okay. Honestly, a little stinky. I don't rate the smell of every lacquer paint that I paint with.
Don't smell paints too long.
I mean, no, don't sniff them. I would say that, no, don't. I mean, look, just safety, right? Safety wise. But SMS, honestly, top 10 smelling paints. Don't smell them. Highly toxic lacquers. Good paint, though. Go on real smooth. Highly recommend those SMS paints. But Scott, actually, if you go to his website, Scale Modeler Supply, you can also find a bunch of tools and other things which will help you with your modeling ventures. And finally, we have a third sponsor beyond USA Gundam and SMS. We have Holy Mountain Printing. If you need a t-shirt from an obscure 1980s series, look no further than Holy Mountain Printing, because 2 weeks ago,
Shut up, guys.
I'm telling a story. I bought a Robot Jocks t-shirt from Holy Mountain Printing. They made it. A Robot Jocks
God
t-shirt.
Damn right,
one of my
did.
Favorite mecha movies of all time. And I own a t-shirt with the movie poster on it. Go check
you
them
and
out.
Like
they've got
10
all
other
kinds
people.
Of. See, that's it's exclusive. I'm
that's
a very
what it's about.
I'm one of a rare breed.
That's
there aren't very
it's
many
all about.
Of us. It really is, honestly, high quality printing as well. I've had some terrible experiences with other screen printing companies. Holy Mountain does it right, which is always really good to see. Anyone else have anything to add? I think that
no, dude, you know, you're killing. Bring us back in the episode, dog. We got shit to talk about.
Let's launch out of the supply drop. Let's get back into the episode, and we can hit some principles of design. Here we go. Okay, here we are back in the actual episode. I'm glad you all survived the supply drop. Yeah, I know. It was a trip. We all took a long
trip.
So we've been talking this episode about using your models and your art pieces to tell a story, you know, kind of like how old school still lifes would tell the story of, hey, who the fuck put this fruit on this table? It's all getting rotten. You know, you can use do the same thing with your model kits. I think that the key here is that you have to follow, basically, if your kit follows the right technical design, you elevate the technical skills by telling a story. And a lot of the elements of those of technical design are, I don't know, I'm not a designer, I'm a nerd, nerdy engineer.
It's different levels, isn't it? It's like
it for sure is,
because we need those basics. We need a kit to be done.
Yes,
well, seam lines, mold lines, you know, good paint finish, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you absolutely.
And then
do.
you can do the technical, because I think to do it is done the other way, but it's less appealing. So it's like if you're telling a story, then some people will see that story and that'll be great. But if it's not done well, then there's a cause for pause right there before you can say, well, you know, I like this. You can like you have that asterisk or that caveat. It's like, well, if it was done better.
I thought you originally said there's a cost to that. Like if you have perfect, and I realize now that you didn't, but I actually really enjoyed what I thought you said in the first place. So I'm gonna defend what
in
I thought
head,
you said.
In your head, Canon, I said cost.
Yeah, exactly. The story that I'm telling myself is that even if your technique is perfect and everything you do, you nail it, there's a cost to your final score if it doesn't tell that
quite the
story.
Opposite. I mean, there's less of a cost, I think, if you are telling a story. There's less of a cost if you've done a really nice technical build and there's no story. But I think there's a greater cost if you are telling a story and it has to be like phenomenal. It has to be mind blowing. And how often do we come across things like that? But if it's not done well, and if it's not really like, you know, a technical build, then I think that's a greater cost than to say, you know, You've nailed. That's what I mean about it being
I totally
levels.
Agree though. Yep. I agree with
There's
that.
Levels you elevate to that level. And if you rise to it's almost like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's like that
here we go.
Telling a story is that self-actualization phase where it's like you've met those basic needs, you've gotten to other point, and now you're telling a story with all of these skills.
But see, at the very bottom, you've got stuff like food and shelter. Like those are the panel line, lining, and the seam line removal. And if you
don't need
up
food to
up,
build.
But see, like if you go higher, you know, I'm you know, it's a metaphor. It's worse. It's worse than a model kit. It's a metaphor.
If you buy that ramen, then you don't have that brush. What are you?
If you buy the ramen,
paint with the ramen.
You don't have the brush.
I mean, you can fix
build
a sink with
ramen.
Yeah, you can fix a sink with ramen. So why not?
You could. Yep, I've seen that happen. Yep, it's
start
impressive.
A car, I think.
Yep.
Oh, I've seen sink one. That one's good.
Yeah, the sink one's nuts. But yeah,
Bandai makes a ramen model kit.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That's
don't fix your sink with it.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, Joel. You should keep going.
It's just styrene. But yeah, to kind of touch a little bit on what Bailey was talking about, and we see it. I mean, we also kind of see it online too. Is when, you know, especially online contests, everyone's a critic. But mm-hmm. when you have a build that's technically like a technical build, right? And it's not a diorama or a setting. It's on a real nice base or whatever. You're hyper focused on the details. You're looking, you're trying. I mean, as a judge, you're looking for faults. You're trying to see what's wrong with it. And then when you have a build that's on a huge, you know, huge foam XPS, you know, almost like a gaming table kind of setup, and it's very dull and bleh. And then you have a really good kit, that dull base takes away from your kit. You shot yourself in the foot. And both have their faults. I mean, I really hate seeing a technical build that doesn't tell me anything. There's no mm-hmm. story going on. It's just cool. You scribe some lines and congratulations.
Yeah.
And then I hate seeing a what would possibly be a really cool diorama that just has a bad diorama, a rushed base.
Oh, I
and
know.
It could be the same skill set as a technical kit. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to when you're doing these contests, when you're doing these online things, it is the presentation. Presentation is key. And
presentation is everything, right?
And
because perception is reality. The presentation is how the judges perceive your work. Yeah.
It's everything you put down. I mean, everything from the action base to the final product. It's all about the end product because, I mean, Tina, if you'd fucking drew like a half-ass thing that wasn't colored in, no one's going to fucking, you know, you can't do that. No one does that.
I do it all the time. All my little sketches that I post. People love those.
The sketches. But they're not paying hundreds of dollars for the sketches.
Yeah, they're not paying hundreds of dollars for the sketches.
Paint a bowl of rotten fruit. Like, that's what people pay for, apparently. I guess. What is wrong with art?
That's going to get me to New York is the rotten fruit.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
No, it's going to be the fucking dick that you drew on the Chili's napkin.
Oh, my God. It's so veiny. They actually have veins in those
places. Don't spoil the surprise.
You guys should join our Patreon.
Are you telling me that you went to Applebee's and got 50 of their branded napkins and you're just going to draw dicks on them and send them to every single Patreon?
Yeah. I mean, there's a story there.
We said
that we need to tell.
He didn't not say that is what I'm. Yeah. He didn't not say it.
People are going to get their hopes up now.
Yeah, well, if their hopes are up, they should join our Patreon. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
That might be a little surprise. A little Tino drawing with each one. And then Tino's going to have no hands because he drew them to dust.
He's going to have no hands. Oh, that's a good story.
So what's the moral of the story? What did we all learn here today?
I learned nothing.
A lighter should be part of your building arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's very good.
I need to learn more about judging.
Oh yeah, that's true. We'll let you tag along next time. It'll be super fun.
That is a good piece of advice. Like if you are interested at getting better at building, not to like say you can like shadow a judge and be like, I'm going to build to what they judge on, but just learning how different people judge. I mean, that is a really that's a good thing to learn, dude.
It is. Especially if you're entering these contests. I had one final thought before we close out, and it's related to Bailey's mention of a lighter. And it made me think of lighters and soldering irons as weathering tools.
Oh, my.
Nothing ruins a story more than weathering that doesn't make sense.
Well.
In Bill Fires, it does.
Real quick. Well, yeah. I'm gonna pull the old judge card on you real quick. Because guess what? Gundams, they can rust or do whatever the fuck they want because they're not real. But I will say, if you look into the weird world of a lot of the Machine Krieger dudes that do Gundam, a great example would be our buddy Hang, KVLT Works RORX. I forgot how he spells it. He does a lot of like really fucking dope art styles that include a lot of rust and stuff. And it may not be
rust
to scale,
great.
But it artistically looks great.
And see, I'm not talking about rust.
And he's won a lot of awards.
I'm talking about weathering.
Quite the opposite,
or
actually.
Battle damage. Like battle damage,
metal.
I guess.
You want to be metal.
I mean, rust is weathering.
Rust is weathering. I guess I'm talking about like beyond weathering, like battle damage that doesn't make sense. Like,
make sense or does it subjectively not look good? Because I've seen high grades that looks like a giant fucking, 12-inch wide beam has shot through them.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
But subjectively, it looks good. It's an artistic piece.
I think that it's basically like, if you make it.
Can you sell
it? Yeah. I guess you got to be able to sell whatever you
do. You have
to
sell it. Yep. You have to sell your stupid, crazy
idea. It makes sense
idea.
Because you can sell it. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So that's where I wanted to stop you. Is that not that it's bad or out of scale. Quote unquote exist. Do you have the ability to sell your crazy idea that's in your head?
There's a lot of
that's really
work.
What it's all about.
But see, for me, that's making it make sense because you expect weathering to look a certain way because we've all seen beat up farm equipment and like scratched up cars and bombed out buildings and bullet holes and tanks or whatever. I don't know. If you're a nerd, you look at all kinds of weird pictures. If you make your weathering look right and make sense, I think it's all great. You know, it just
sense.
Has to.
If
it has
there's
to
a lot
sense.
Of finishing. If there's not a lot me, of finishing. Go ahead, Tino.
No, I was just going to say, if you let me stand next to my model entry and explain why I think a diesel-powered Zaku makes sense, I will sell it.
Well, you don't have to, though, because that already makes sense, you know? Like, you need every... So a mecha needs a power supply. Why not diesel? I'm totally on board with that. That makes sense to me. You know?
So what you're saying story. Is even how ridiculous or out of scale or crazy that it looks, if you can look at it and be like, oh, okay, I see it. It kind of it tells a story.
And because I've seen... I don't think that out of scale is a thing, but yes.
Well, yeah. That I agree with Brandon because it... it's like people that like the clean builds, right? Yeah, I mean, there's that, but so we can agree and disagree in different areas that, like you said, you've got to make it work. You got to make it sell it, right? And I think there is a skill to making a clean build. It's kind of like the guys that do the super glossy cars.
Oh, yeah.
But there's don't want to be cheesy, but there's an equal or maybe opposite approach to making a like burnt out,
well,
ratted out, you know,
like a hot husk like of a car rod looking.
Yeah. And then in the same vein of, not the veins that, Tino draws in it.
Oh my veins. God.
Whoa.
To doing a Gundam or mobile suit, whatever it is, mecha, and have a really, really well done weathering, and those are the ones that I really admire. I always, in my way, I always like to merge those two. Whenever I do a kit, I want to get it to a halfway point that is a really nice clean build.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to weather it because I think both of those things can be done. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's order and chaos. You need order and chaos and balance. You know.
And, you know, some weathering guys, they'll make the joke that, you know, weathering will hide it. And, you know, it's like, it's funny, but you want to already know that you can get it to a point where it's finished. And if you just enter it, clean build, whatever, it's fine. And then there's more work and sometimes really a lot more work when you get into the weathering and you think about, you know, what's likely to happen and how. So like when Brandon's talking about, you know, you can do battle damage and, you know, holes and, you know, laser scoring or whatever happens, but you have to do the work to make it appear and not just, you know, you took your hobby knife to this or something like that.
I don't want to see bare plastic like that.
Yeah, exactly.
that's for the dry brushing episode when we get into that. But,
that's going to be a long episode.
Well, Brandon, like you were saying, the order, like the chaos and order and shit. Oh, yeah. That's why I love doing SDs because the chaos meter's already at 100% because it's a super deformed Gundam.
Just from the design.
I just got to add a little bit of order, make it a little less cartoonish and make it a little more serious. But that high level of chaotic energy is still there.
That's right.
But it also helps tell a story because you're looking something that's already kind of outside the realm of the norm, quote unquote.
That's so true.
It's like it's designer totally toys and shit.
It is.
It's very out of the norm, but it's within its own subject matter.
It's a good story. Yep. Yeah. That's a really good contributor to that story. Oh, yeah. I think, you know, this is something which is not, we can't define what we actually mean by these terms in fewer than, you know, three paragraphs, but we can. I hope that throughout this episode, we have given the listener some idea what we mean when we talk about these subjects, you know?
Yeah. If you're confused, don't worry. We're all confused, too. We're probably going to do another episode about this or something. But
we live our lives confused, you know?
Yeah. I think this is a good starting point because it is it's a little bit of a worldview into kind of from the other side of, you know, thinking about something we're so hyper-focused on the subject matter, but looking at it a little bit more broadly in terms of just quality of work. But then also kind of dialing it back into allowing ourselves to not be so strict on what things should look like and what we think things should look like. This is a fucking podcast.
That's God a damn. Fucking podcast right there. So
fucking podcast, boys.
There is a level. There's a level beyond story, and that level is emotion. And we might need to cover that in another episode.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's
imparting emotion into a model kit as an art piece. I mean, think it's very interesting.
Honestly, we talked about when
I think there's an engine for that.
I think there is.
Yeah. Well. Actually, you know what? Hey, I think that's a good episode topic. Is emotion with your showing emotion. We tell a story. Learning how to tell a story is great, but learning to tell an emotional story, whether it's a wide range of emotions that can be had. Let's get into that one, boys. Let's crack that fucking can of worms open real quick.
Let's break emotion.
Yeah. Let's have an emo night. Nope. Never saying that again. I fucking hate the emo night things, man. Shit sucks.
Welcome to the Cutting Matt podcast.
Bunch of pop punk bands fucking play through a DJ. And it's usually
got some shoegaze music going on in the background.
Yeah. Fuck emotions.
Who needs them?
Is that emotion?
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Yeah. Anyways, Tino, get us the fuck out of here, dog.
Yeah, sure. Thank you once again, everybody, for listening to the Cutting Matt podcast. I'm Tino, also known as Big V Roman. Your headcanons are valid. To my left is the one and only Bailey.
Kamau _ Zeta. Look for me. To my left is Brandon.
Sup, mecha genre, find me everywhere. I'm going to name a bunch of Star Trek ship types that you might have never heard of at the end of this. Let's go to Joel.
True Gumpa everywhere. I'm writing erotic Beyblade fan fiction for your mom.
Read it. It's real good. You got to let her rip. Good.
That's a great hit.
A lot of, emotion.
Super. Yeah. It's so emotional.
It's raw. Yeah. Raw emotion.
Anyways, Tino, hit that fucking, skate pod button or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
So have you guys heard of like the Constitution class ships? Constitution class?
I don't know.
Miranda class.
Hurry.
Excelsior
class.
I have heard the Miranda class.
Don't join him in his conversation. Don't add to it.
Yeah, Soyuz is a class I've heard of. Wait, are they just naming classes of ships?
Tino, you cannot participate in Brandon's Star Trek shenanigans.
Whoa, hang on, Joel. We're having a good conversation. Hold up. This is important.
This is no. Save this for some fucking side episode.
No, wait.